Here's your host,
Kirsten.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Hi guys, welcome to Psychic Babes. I'm your host, Kirsten Sandifer. And today we have an amazing guest. I'm very excited to have her on. She's an amazing woman and an amazing spiritual educator and guide and ascension coach as well. Her name is Karen Holton. So welcome to the show, Karen.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. So a little bit about Karen. She is an educator. She's a channel. She's a guide and ascension coach. And her professional experience includes well-being and ascension coaching, counseling, creating and implementing workshops, lectures, self-help sessions, and consciousness-raising social events. And she also maintains her presence on Facebook and other social media. Now, she also, on her YouTube channel, talks about the Quantum Guide Show, where she interviews awakened masters who share their quantum work with you, which is very amazing. I've just checked that out. She also sells her Zen Dome Organite generators, which are we were just talking about, and we'll get into that later on in the show. And then she talks about her Series 2.0 Quantum Health Transformation, and this is one of the things that I just think is amazing. It's free to everybody. It's a free 9-step online course that will give you the tips and resources that you need really to thrive. And this is going into kind of Karen's story, but, you know, she lost and continues to keep off 178 pounds of surplus body weight, and she became much healthier and happier because of this. And so whether you're in the ascension process or you want a wiser, more efficient lifestyle, like, this program is for you, and there's no strings attached, literally. There's nothing you have to do other than to go on and to listen to it. And you can also purchase her PDFs for download if you like as well, but you don't have to. You can certainly just go on there and listen to the videos, and they're fantastic. She holds a bachelor's degree with distinction in social work from the University of Victoria, where she focused on sociology, gender studies, psychology, addictions, and family counseling. And she's the founder of the Vancouver Island Alternative Lifestyle Service, VILES, since 2007. And she began her private practice on Vancouver Island, but she's currently residing in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. And VILES, which is this very interesting, was developed to support people of alternative lifestyles, but more recently has come to assist individuals and groups with their ascension process. And she also, some interesting things she does, she offers counseling services for marijuana, and as I guess, to use in the ascension process and to use in healing. And there's not a lot of people out there that do that. And it is, a lot of people probably don't know this, but there's not just THC, there's many CBD, there's many different things in different marijuana strains that can help you, and she's an expert in that. So she's also published articles on is it Sybil magazine, and she also has Zendome Organites, and she has her lifestyle services. She has lots of free resources, so go and check it. It's www.KarenHoltonHealthCoach.com. Okay. Sorry, that was my thing beeping there. So I will just go ahead and jump right in. I found your personal transformation story so inspiring. Can you tell the listeners a bit about your childhood and how you discovered your gifts and, you know, what your family and your religious institutions kind of said about them? Because the story is oddly familiar to mine, and I find it fascinating that such of us the narrative. If you would please, you know, how religion played a role in that.
Okay. Well, I had, like most people, a troubled childhood with, you know, being born into a dysfunctional family. And I had gifts right away from the time I was born. And I'll just give you an example. It's kind of silly, but it illustrates. When I was about 2 years old, my grandma came and stayed with us for a few days, and she snored really loud. And in the morning, when everybody got up, one of my guides said to me, they're invisible, no one can hear them but me, said to me, tell her she needs to get a new muffler. Well, I didn't know what it meant. So I said to my grandmother, Grandma, you need to get a new muffler. And my family was scared because for a two-year-old to say something like that.
Mine was too.
It kind of freaked her out. And so then I started having all kinds of amazing experiences and being told things. And oh my gosh, my mom, she shut me right down. She said, my parents come from an era where it was really important what everyone thought of you, because if you weren't thought of well, you were ostracized in society. So if you wanted to get ahead, you had to fit in. And so mental illness or calling someone crazy has always been the quickest way to stigmatize and shut someone down. So my mom was worried about that. So she just constantly brainwashed me into believing it wasn't real. And and I couldn't talk about it and stuff. And then later on, I really tried to have it shut down. I suppressed it constantly. But later on, I actually started getting involved in religion. I had a spiritual longing and a spiritual need, always was aware of that. And of course, you know, I'm a product of the 1950s, where you went for spiritual things was church. But the churches, and I tried in a number of different churches, but they always basically said this was the work of the devil. You don't ever want to open your mind up to that kind of stuff. And they scared the hell out of me. And so I spent most of my life up until being an adult just trying to shut it down. And even, you know, my parents would take me to see, you know, mental health practitioners and get me put on pills and stuff to try to make it stop. But there was nothing wrong with me. I'm a perfectly healthy, intelligent, sensitive human being. And so part of my work is activism to help people to understand that this is a state of health, not a state of mental illness, not a state of lack of spirituality. It's so important that these are our God-given rights and abilities. And boy, they sure make my life easier now that I've accepted them and who I am. Did I answer your question, Kirsten?
No, that's perfect. I mean, thank goodness they don't really do that anymore. I mean, there still is a stigma attached to, you know, what we do, but, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be. My mother I had a premonition at the age of 4 about my grandfather going to the hospital, and then come to find out the next day my grandmother called and said he was going into kidney failure and we should come down to Green Bay because he likely wasn't going to make it. And my mother was terrified, and she said, "This is the devil. You made this happen." And she wasn't trying to be nasty. She was just afraid that, you know, because they were very Catholic. I was raised very Catholic. Mm-hmm. And I always had that spiritual longing that you're talking about. I joined several different churches and tried to, you know, find one that fit, and none of them seemed to. And that's when I realized, you know, the answer isn't in religion. It's just in your own spirituality. And I'm closer to God now than I've ever been, you know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But I was really astounded by the traumatic time you had after the birth of your kids and how you eventually recovered from that, which is how you developed the 9 steps to quantum health transformation. Can you talk a bit about what you went through and how you eventually came up with the QHT lessons?
Well, a combination of things. One, on the one hand, trauma. And I'm the kind of person where I have worked my way through trauma and come out the other side to find out that there are actual great gifts that come with trauma once we work our way through it.
Oh, yeah.
So that I think raised my awareness. Trauma also opened me up for having to rely on non-corporeal guides, because often when we're going through a really difficult time, there really aren't sufficient resources. Like, we keep thinking that there's these external experts and sources of support, but the truth of the matter is I found that within. And so the worse things got, the better I was able to then connect to something that for me was real, because I get fed in the most amazing way. So one thing that happened to me in 2007, I had a very badly botched surgery, and very badly. And although I was still in hospital, for whatever reason, they refused to examine me, and I ended up almost dying in hospital. I ended up with such poor health after that, that I just had to go to my guides and say, I need help. I don't know what to do. I also was too sick to work. I didn't have money. And of course, people didn't really understand because they have their own lives and their own stuff they're dealing with. So I didn't really get the support that I could have used. So I had no choice but to really rely on my guides. And I got two downloads. The first download was in 2013, and the second download was in 2015, but they kind of go together. And I got this information in almost an instant.
Was it all at once? You just got a ton of information kind of all at once, and you had to sort through it, or did it come in waves?
I think it may work differently for everybody because we're all have our own perceptual arena, but I'll just tell you how it was for me. How it was for me was the first thing that happened was I had some brain injury from that botched surgery, and I was having a very difficult time making friends and establishing myself socially. And so that's when I was given the conceptual tool called the Nubby Ball, and that's introduced in step 9. The weird thing about the quantum health transformation is it goes step 9, then 8, then 7, then 6. It's completely opposite to what you would expect.
And I love that. And that's for programming, right? To kind of deprogram your...
Yes, because we have so much linear brainwashing and programming. I shook it up a little bit just to help people to get out of that groove. Anyway, in there, I teach people how to use this conceptual tool, which has just been fantastic for helping me to navigate my own way through reality. But then in 2015, around the same time I started having these ET experiences, whammo, I got the download in a second. Now, when I get a download, what it feels like physically is like someone's dropped a packet in my brain. If I close my eyes and I try to get an imaginative picture of what's going on, it's like a pyramid gets dropped into my head. And then it unfolds, and the basic part of it unfolds, and it leaves me in a state where it's hard for me to communicate and do normal mainstream actions and fit in socially, because it's so much information. It literally knocks me off my center for a while. Then what happens?
Does it also for you just completely, you feel like you have to sit down and figure this out, and it's almost a compulsion? Yeah, that's how it is for me as well.
It becomes a bit of an obsession. Mm-hmm. Then what happens for me is it unfolds like a second reality, or what I would call an overlay, over my three-dimensional experience, so that all of my everyday experiences, whether it's washing my hair, going grocery shopping, sitting out in the yard with a cup of tea, it doesn't matter. The lesson, the practical application of the download comes out in my everyday experiences. So I'm running around seeing the world very differently as this thing unfolds for me. So often there's a great deal of scribbling down in books, trying to make sense of it, trying to organize it. And I was having trouble organizing it. And so thank God they always come and help me. Always, always. These are such benevolent beings. They suggested that I organize it in three sections. The first section is to raise awareness and open the mind. The second three parts are all about detoxification. And then the last three parts are actually what we would call the ascension component, where we start using our superpowers. And that made it a lot easier. So I actually just scribbled it down on a piece of paper, step 9, step 8, step 7. And then it's funny because although I didn't plan it that way, it just turned out that it corresponded to the chakras. it corresponded to a whole bunch of other things.
Isn't
and
that
it was just
funny
really
how that works out?
it is. I could not have planned it better, but these things happen just very spontaneously, very unplanned. But they happen more often when I keep myself in a state of kind of sacred space, if that makes sense, where I'm not defining, I'm more open to seeing things differently.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I love the quantum health transformation. I think it's one of my favorite things out there right now. I've watched it several times, and each time I seem to get something different from it.
Yeah,
it's interesting because, you know, it's like I pay very much attention to it and take notes, but I'll see different things, like especially we were talking about with the nubby ball, like different ways to use it and different ways to, you know, and then going through my other favorite part is the different recipes, you know, that you put together for instead of using, you know, medicines. And I was wondering, how did that information come to you? Did you do research or was that all in the download and you just wrote that down?
I would say both, because this is another interesting thing. Now we're all, you'll understand this, Kirsten, that you and I both operate within the energetic realms.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we operate in the energetic realms, the more we see all these connections. So because I deal with the energetic realm, so for instance, detoxification, I knew I had to do something about, like, for instance, step 6, part 1, is external detoxification. So I knew I had to tell people that basically almost all of our personal care products and cleaning products are toxic. They're making us sick and holding us back. But then I would go on the internet, and then it was like, I can't even explain it. The right website with the right information, everything was just so easy to find. And that way, that's how I was able to get all the chemical names and the side effects and all of that to put together part 6.
Which a lot of that was so terrifying for myself as having a child and not,
yes.
not because I thought I knew. I mean, I thought I really was careful with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that I did not know. And I was just terrified throwing out things, you know, left and right that were going, nope, not with my child, because, you know, there's so much that we don't know that's put in. I wrote an article a couple of years ago about the scariest things about your favorite baby products. And it was like, you know, it got a lot of response because moms were just freaking out about this. But the things that they put, you know, and I mean, even vaccines and things like that, and we won't go into all that, but it's just, you know, it's terrifying. And so I'm so grateful that we have people like you out there who take the time to do the research and to, you know, sit down and inform people of this and to do it for free. I mean, you're not charging anybody for this.
Well, that's because I work for, I mean, in effect, I work for Holy Spirit. You could call it universal consciousness. I am plugged in and I do as I'm asked because I know there's a greater reason for it, even if I don't understand it. And I was asked to provide this with in a format that the most people on the earth would have access to, and almost everyone has access to the internet now, so they can get it for free if they find out about it. And it had to be that way because this is, I'm just a channel. So it's not like Karen's so smart that Karen put this program together. No, Karen got this as a gift and was asked to put it out, and I did it. Because that was my mandate. That was my service job for God, literally. I don't know how to say it any plainer than that.
Yeah, it's kind of, as light workers, people don't understand this isn't a choice that we, and it's not an easy one. You really have to give up a lot in your ego, but the rewards that you get back for helping people are just tremendous. And it's not like we live these lives of fame and glory where we can, you know, we have millions of dollars. It's not the case at all. You know,
it's true.
But you know what? To live spiritually happy, and I, you know, from speaking with you, I can tell that you definitely do. That seems to be a much greater gift than anything money could buy. So.
It's just so satisfying. It's so satisfying to help other people or to allow them to help themselves, to help open their minds, to see that there's other ways of doing things. To me, it is, it's like being an activist because I'm educating and raising people's awareness. Mm-hmm. It's also giving them something that they can figure out and do on their own and help raise their own awareness so that they can go out and create in their realm. So I tell people at the beginning of each of the primer videos, you know, don't just run out and do everything I say, but use this to take whatever you can use, throw the rest away and create. And I think that's the biggest problem is that people don't realize we're creative beings. We're very creative beings. There's nothing we can't do. We can fix this planet. We can fix every problem that's on this planet, and we don't need to hurt anybody while we do it.
Exactly. And I think you're also getting people to think and to, you know, even if they toss most of it away, at least they're thinking and going, huh, it plants a seed. And that is what, you know, begins the awakening process. And that, you know, is where it starts. And I mean, I definitely know that you're doing for that for people. And that's an amazing thing as well. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your guys, like your the ETs that you work with. Do you know what race they are? Do you know anything about them? Have you seen them in the physical?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. First of all, I want to tell you that my guides can include ancestors. They can include just enlightened beings that were corporeal on Earth at one time, include extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, angels, elementals, and there's overlap. Once we get outside of the box, there's overlap. It's one wonderful, beautiful, living, energetic omniverse. It's not even a universe. It's not even a multiverse. It's an omniverse. And it plays out the way it plays out. So a few things is when I started really getting awakened and really starting to apply the steps for ascension for myself. And by the way, there is never a point where you go, oh, I have ascended. I'm an enlightened
master. I get
master.
It all. Yep.
That's never happened for me. I'm always just working away and plugging away for as long as I'm here on Earth. I'll just be plugging away on it, right?
Yeah.
So, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I was just asking about the ET groups. What race.
So one of the things that came up really strongly at that point was, because I couldn't believe how much specialized knowledge I was having, and it was really important that I got from them that this is, I am in no way a leader. I do not represent my guides. I am not to try to start a cult or a religion. I am.
Isn't that funny? Oh my goodness!
Not
supposed
to believe
that
I'm special, right?
I have gotten that too, and I know other people have as well. They're very. I mean, if they're benevolent, you know, they always convey that message. They don't want our ego to get in the way, because we're getting this information. Because anybody can get this information. They just need to be spiritually attuned and raise their vibration, and they can start getting these messages too. I don't think people realize that.
Absolutely. Now, some of the groups, like my ET groups, the particular group that I do the most work with, which is the Intergalactic Resettlement Program, they are not any one type of being. They are our intergalactic brothers and sisters and cousins. They look like us. They are more advanced. They're healthier. They're more spiritual. And in some ways, they're more attractive than us, actually, just because they're symmetric. They don't have, you know, the genetic issues that we've had in our population.
Okay.
But they themselves, they're not Palladian. They're not from Sirius. They're from all over, and they actually interbreed. They have families. They have relationships. And they... they're actually
and they have children like
like we do now. I know later on we're going to talk about the conference. I'm working very hard. I have a 2-hour presentation. I've got so much information, so all the details about all of this will be there. Now
I'm so excited. I just bought my ticket, so
I'm so glad. Now, out of the angelic realms, I do work for Gabriel, the archangel. I have no idea how I ended up getting Gabriel, but I have Gabriel. And I do missions. I work for Gabriel from December 21st till March 21st each year. I do missions, I do training, and it's all for soul evolution. And again, I don't tell anyone about what I'm doing. Nobody knows. This is the most thankless work in the world because nobody knows that you're doing it, because that's not what it's about. It's not about, oh, I'm the grand poobah for this race or that race. No, it's not about any of that. It's very, just, it's all very personal. And then I also have
How did
one...
you get started in that? Did they just come to you in meditation and ask you if you would be interested, or are they, how did that happen? How were you approached?
Well, my first actual ET experience was when I was in my late teens, and I started having dreams every night that there was some physical beings on a physical spacecraft that offered to take me and my younger brother Dan and I are only 2 years apart, and offered to take us to another world. And I was just kind of like thinking about it, not talking about it. And Dan and I got together about a week later, and I told him, and he said, oh my God, I've been getting the very same dreams. Oh. So we were getting the same contact at the same time, and we talked about it. We decided we were going to go. And then the night that we were supposed to go, we both had these terrifying nightmares. Don't go, something's wrong. And we didn't know what. And the next day, Dan and I got together, we talked about it, and I didn't find out what happened, but he got a little bit more information than me. He's very much like me. And he said, no, the spaceship actually was destroyed. We don't know what happened. Our brother, our intergalactic or our space brothers, we didn't know what to call them in those days. They're dead. They died. Mm-hmm. And we went, oh my God. And then after that, I got no messages. I waited and waited a couple of years. This is going to make me a bit sad because I got to tell you, these beings are so benevolent.
I get it.
They are so lovely that when you've been in contact with them and then you have these periods of time, and everyone who's spiritual goes through periods of time where there's like, they're like spiritually dry. They're not feeling the connection. That's a normal part of the process. I didn't know that then, but it was very sad that I lost that for a few years until
when they cut you off, or they, you know, they want you to kind of spread your wings, or it's not the time for them to work
exactly
with you. It is a very sad. It is a very sad time. It's almost like grieving.
It
you
is.
Know? Yeah.
Because you don't know if they're ever going to come back.
Exactly.
And this has always happened ever since then. This has happened where I'll go periods without them. And then sometimes literally I'll be crying because I miss them so much. And when they come back, they say, well, Karen, because we spend the time with you, you learn, you know what you need to do. And then you need time on your own because we can't always be there for you. You need to come out with your own gifts. You need to develop your own abilities. And that's why we get these little dry periods, but we're never left completely. And when we're in crisis, they're always there for us.
I was about to say, yeah, if something were to happen in your life or in danger, I'm sure they would show up, because there's been times in my life that, you know, that's happened. So, but, yeah, that's really fantastic. Now, I know we're going to get into this a little bit later, but if you could talk a little bit about the resettlement program and what it is. We can go into it more in more detail when you talk about the conference, but just if you could just kind of let our listeners know what that is, what you're referring.
Okay. Now, first of all, I just want to say that these beings, the ones that I spend time with, they offer basically three types of work that, and I have participated in all three. So one is I'm an ambassador, what they call an exopolitical ambassador, where I actually will, without my body, my consciousness will go to the ship, and they will record in some kind of a holographic recording device my own experiences so that they can understand what Earth people, what are our common fears, what do we go through, all kinds of life type experiences. Plus, they will give me some committee work where I'll be giving input as an Earth citizen into whatever it is that's going on politically. Then the second thing they do is they offer an off-world experience where you can actually participate in going to other worlds and collecting data. It's a very scientific expedition where you go and you collect data, because these worlds don't have humanoids on them. They've been either re-terraformed or they're brand new. Brand new could be millions of years.
Because they were destroyed maybe in the past.
Yeah, or re-terraformed. Like, there's so many things, and it's a very busy galaxy. People have no idea how busy it really is. So you get to go down and you do soil samples. It's all very hands-on, because when we resettle, it will also be very hands-on. So even though they have the technology to gather that data without us, this is part of our training and our evolution to go there and participate. Then the third thing is the resettlement program, and that is for, first of all, they, in our case with Earth, they want to see us come to our own solutions. They want to see us develop and take back our own power and realize that poverty and war and famine and all those things don't work, and there's no need to have any of that going on.
And the reptilian agenda, and that they can't
exactly
control us if we don't give over our powers
to
them.
You have to get permission. This is
yeah.
the thing people
mm-hmm.
don't realize, right? And so that program is for, if I'll just use Earth as an example. So if we don't sort out our own issues, and if we're faced with a cataclysmic event, those of us who are sincerely trying to become the new creation, the new kind of people, the ones that are governed by love, then we actually have something to offer, and they would absolutely come and take us and give us options for either living on ships or go to resettlement or whatever it is we want to do. But they're hoping we're going to settle our own affairs on our own, because they know we can do this if we want to come together and do so. Now, if we were faced with a cataclysmic event, if all of a sudden, you know, Yellowstone goes and Cascadia goes and there's a supernova of the sun or something like that, they would come in and they would evacuate us. And they do evacuate other beings. And this has been going on for thousands of years. So it's not just an
Sure, and on thousands of other planets too,
exactly.
just like ours.
This has nothing even to do with Earth. In fact, most of the beings on the ships that I've been on, they've never even heard of Earth. They have to go look it up, because it's not, we think we're so important, but we're not that important on an intergalactic level. And so that's how it is. So it's no guarantee. And I'm telling you one thing, is there's no way. We've got an infection on planet Earth. The infection is biological, it's mental, it's spiritual. Well, they will never uplift that infection and infect other worlds. Never gonna happen.
Right.
So it's an ecological universe that needs to stay healthy. And if we moved some of these, pardon my expression, dumbass leaders off our planet onto other ones, they just do the same thing, because they haven't learned.
Yeah, no. And it's, I mean, I don't know what you think about the whole cabal situation and all of that, but,
well, they've been naughty.
Yep, they sure have. And I've been saying on my podcast and on my YouTube channel for the last 2 years now, 2020 is going to be the big year when some things change.
Yep.
And sure enough, you know, the coronavirus
yep.
and this quarantine situation. And I want to hear what you think about it. But I do believe it's a real thing, but I think that the quarantine, there's a bigger reason why that we're not being told why we're all in quarantine. That has nothing to do with the virus.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree with you. And I don't have a lot of facts. Let's face it. There has never been a time where we don't know anything. Personally, the governments have lied enough. Like, even with 9/11 and all of that, I don't trust anything they have to say, the official narrative on anything.
Oh, goodness, no. Yeah.
But then when I go to the alternative news, some of that has been planted and misinformation. So we really don't know what is going on. So again, time to turn to our internal resources, our own intuition, our own amazing superpowers, and the beings that are there. But we got to ask, because they're not going to come in and just rescue us. We got to ask. We got to get to that point where we have a level of humility and we're open and we're willing to take a few risks and we ask for help, then we start to get the help and then we start to know what's real and what's not real. And I got to tell you, my guides have told me over and over again, the only thing that's real is love. Everything else is an illusion. So I'm able to, during this crisis, work. I'm able to take good care of my body. I eat very well. I get lots of sleep. I stay out of
trouble. I meditate more.
Exactly. I'm meditating at least twice a day. I'm using my Organites with my meditation process. It really helps a lot. And I'm doing everything I can to maintain my own personal integrity and anchor in a stability to this craziness. And that's the best that I can do. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I know people don't like talking about this, but, you know, we've died so many times. This is old hat for us. If we die through this process, maybe it's to something way better than we're going to go, oh, my God, am I so glad I succumbed? Like, we don't know, right?
Exactly. And I think that so many people fear death. And yeah. I know I used to when I was younger until I really got involved in this, you know, and got deep into delving into my spirituality. And then when I started doing shadow work and stuff like that with my guides and really confronting all of my fears, yeah. I realized there's nothing to be afraid of. I've seen the other side. There's, you know, it's beautiful. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. So, you know, I think that's the big thing. And I think fear is what, you know, the cabal and all the powers that be use to keep us in line. We don't fear anything, then they can't keep us in line.
I agree. I think it's to keep us in line, but then there are also different layers of reality. And on some layers of reality, there are energy systems, let's just call them that, that feed off of our jealousy and grief and hatred and fear and all of that jazz. And so it's like we got to put them on a diet and refuse to eat them. Just
that.
Like we wouldn't want to go and feed a narcissist. We wouldn't want to go and feed them their narcissistic supply. No, we're not doing that. We don't work for narcissists and psychopaths, and we don't work for energy systems that want to suck negative energy. And it's really interesting. I have had times where I've had been overwhelmed with sadness. And as soon as I catch myself and I go, oh, I see what you're
That's
doing. I don't know
line.
Who you are, but I am banishing you from my realm and I will not feed you. Move on. And instantly my mood shifts and I have peace and I have happiness. And I can't explain that, but it works.
No, I'd like to kind of say that again for the listeners, because I'm not sure that everybody, in fact, I'm quite sure not,
okay.
not everybody knows this, but that you need to reclaim your sovereignty. If you're being attacked,
yeah,
you just explain that to them.
You can always reclaim your sovereignty at any moment, That is yours. That's your birthright. Nobody can take that away, and nobody can come into your space unless we let them in. This is ours, and it's sacred.
And drugs and alcohol do sort of bypass that process by allowing your filters to be down. So that does, in essence, let them in, correct? If they're being abused.
Yes. Now, when we talk about, okay, first of all, alcohol is something I had to eliminate from my life. It just did nothing for me, and it had to go. It just had to go. And when it did, and when I was ready, it was actually surprisingly easy. Now, a lot of people are confused because we call everything drugs. We call pharmaceuticals drugs. We call cannabis drugs. We call antipsychotic medication drugs, and we call maybe LSD drugs. So what are we talking about when we mean drugs? So
plant medicine.
I want to say plant-based medicine is when it's unadulterated and unrefined, plant-based medicine is, I group into energy healing. That's a different thing. But the truth The truth of the matter is the really dangerous drugs are the pharmaceuticals. They're man-made. Our bodies don't know what to do with them, and they cause all kinds of health problems that make us take more and more and more. I don't know one person who's pill dependent who ever gets off the pills once they're on them. Now, the difference would be antibiotics, but they still just keep getting them prescribed over and over and over again. Well, that is not healthful to us physically, mentally, or spiritually. And that's the other thing. We are a unified unit. We are not separately biological and then separately mental and then separately spiritual. We're one contained, integrated unit. And we're actually more than that. The planet is actually integrated with all living things. I didn't want to get too much off topic. I do like to go down my rabbit holes.
No, not at all. I wanted to mention something because I've never discussed this before on the show, but I think it's pertinent. I think right now is kind of the time to say it. But I was addicted to pain pills because I had a back injury. And
yeah.
Getting off of that stuff was, I mean, it wrecked my life for a while, for a long while. And getting off of it was absolutely horrible. But the way that I did it was I took a position in Germany, and then I started getting involved in energetic healing, mm-hmm. And doing yoga and, you know, taking different supplements and, doing things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And, honestly, that's what saved me. So it is possible to get off of it, but my goodness, it is so difficult. And if you look at the medicines the doctors were prescribing me, I mean, fentanyl they were giving me at one point, which is for end of life care. It's insane. I was a college student, and some people don't make it back from that. And, it's something. So I just wanted to share that because I know some people, probably are struggling out there listening to this right now, and there is hope, but it doesn't lie in pharmaceuticals. So.
No, it doesn't, and I would group in there any man-made, any refined plant medicine. I'll give you an example. Is if you take the opium poppy, I'm not saying people should run out and take any of this. I'm not giving medical advice here, but people can use the medicinal opium poppy appropriately for specific treatments. But then when you take that poppy seed and now you turn it into morphine, it's refined. And then you refine it some more and you end up with heroin. And then you make a synthetic copy of it and you have fentanyl. No. This is now way, way beyond. It's only at the net, in my opinion.
This is not what it was made for.
Exactly.
The earth gave us this.
And the same goes.
And we adulterate it, and we change it, and we also take away the medicinal qualities because we want. Oh, we don't want to cure anything. We just want to be able to let you live with it, so they can make money.
We don't have a medical system. What we have is a disease management system that's controlled by a medical industrial complex. That is. As plain as I can say it. And so we need to take our own power for our medicines. And by the way, food is your first level of medicine, is always food, real food.
Yep. And that's actually my segue into the next question is you talk about the dangers of food that most people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to eat healthy and eat non-processed foods? And which one should people focus on to stay healthy?
Well, again, I can't give medical advice, so I'm going to give you my opinion.
Sure, just opinion.
My opinion is the base foundation to the human experience relies on us eating foods the way they were 100 years ago. So that means no refining, and that means like a lot of the foods we have today, they weren't even around 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the big thing is when they make food that can, well, what they call food, I'm going to call it food-like substances, they create it so that it has a 25-year shelf life. The reason it has a 25-year shelf life is so that bugs and critters, they won't eat it because there's nothing to support life. It's dead. It's a dead, empty calorie situation. And so people who don't know that, they're eating it and eating it and eating it, and they're just getting sicker and sicker. It's like putting out the fire with gasoline. It doesn't work. Our bodies are made to be in harmony with the planet. And so we want foods that come from the planet, foods the way they were eating 100 years ago. And specifically, like you look at some different kinds of cultural backgrounds, like Asian people, for instance, when they eat their traditional diet, they're fine. As soon as they go to the United States and they eat a typical American diet, their health goes, they have problems with obesity.
They get sick immediately.
They get sick. Yeah. And that is your first line of defense against anything, whether you want to stay healthy from coronavirus or whether you want to be able to think clearly, if you want to have an intellectual edge, if you want to make contact spiritually, we must detoxify and enhance the human body, because our bodies are not just vehicles to get us around and bring us pleasure. They are temples for the spirituality, and we can't hold that beautiful, beautiful energy if we're just a toxic dump site. Pardon me for being so blunt, but
no, that's 100% true. You know, you really do have to treat your body like a temple. That's what this is saying.
And
you have to eat to live, live to eat, you know. And
that was a tough one for me. I was over 320 pounds my whole life till after I was 50 years old. And I tried every diet. I went to Weight Watchers. I went to TOPS. I tried fasting. I tried Dr. Atkins. I tried being a vegan. I tried everything. And I tried starving myself and over exercising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had problems with bulimia. I had so many problems. And you know, it's a miracle I found my way out.
You look fantastic. I've seen the pictures. I'll post those on for you to see, because this is all part of that quantum health transformation. That she's, you know, she loves it, and she looks fantastic, and looks lively, you know, and it just, your whole world is different.
Well, I'm hoping I'm exuding the energy that I claim that I'm holding, because, you know, that's one of the purposes, is if we want to teach people and help people, we need to be a good example. So yeah, I do. I follow the same quantum health transformation. That is my lifestyle. That's what I do. That's how I healed. I've never had a weight problem since then. I may gain 5 or 10 pounds or lose 5 or 10 pounds, up and down a little bit, depending if it's winter, how much exercise I'm getting, whether I've been sick, you know, that kind of stuff. But basically, I've maintained a healthy weight. I don't even think about it. I eat the most fabulously delicious foods, and I eat till I'm really full, and I do not starve, and I don't go out and exercise for exercise sake. I don't do any of that. And I'm 64 years old, and I'm able to do things that most people my age can't do.
And
I'm super thrilled.
So I can say that from the pictures that I've seen, you know, it's just fantastic. That's what the stuff can do for you. It's almost like you regress, you know, age wise. Like you seem to go a little bit back in time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely look younger than I did when I was getting when I finished my university degree. I was wearing a size 48, and you know, my hair was starting to go grayed out, and I looked way older than I do now. But, you know, in all honesty, folks, you know, if you took me out in the bright sunshine and took a good look at me, you'd...
Step three of quantum health therapy, you talk about not littering your manifestations with running from your situation.
Yes.
What did you mean by this, and how do you describe manifestation, and how should one practice it?
Oh, well, that's a big question. Good question. I don't think it's necessarily the same process for everybody, so I'll just speak to my own experience.
Okay.
My own experience is, say, for instance, I spend time thinking about something I want, because really that's how we manifest. It starts with a desire, a sincere desire. What is it that we want? Then when we start getting what we want, Sometimes it doesn't look like what we thought it was going to look like, or it doesn't feel the way we thought it would feel. So I'll give you an example. Someone who goes, oh, and I've done this in the past, so I'm speaking from my own experience. I went, oh, if only I could have a really nice boyfriend, if he could be tall and have broad shoulders, and maybe he could live right across the street. How wonderful that would be. Poof, I got the boyfriend. He was a schmuck. And I went, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I wished for that. So the thing is that he was not a suitable partner for me, and we ended the relationship, and that's okay. Sometimes you have to do that. But what I try to get people to do is to do things like manifest the finances to be able to afford good quality food, to get out of debt. All the things that will bring us a more peaceful and more enjoyable life, and then sticking with them. Because the thing is, I'm a firm believer in chaos theory, and chaos theory is part of quantum physics. And in chaos theory, it states that when we want to manifest something, it has to come out of the ethers. It has to be created basically out of nothing. So
it can't
create
a place of lacking.
Yeah, and so it pulls energy from other systems to create drag to come into physical manifestation. While it's pulling things from other things that are already here to get the energy to manifest, things become very chaotic. And so you don't want to quit when the chaos hits, because the chaos is part of manifestation. So the chaos part, people go, oh my God, this is scary and things are out of control and they're not going the way I expected them to, because we're taught to think in a linear fashion. Then we start to collapse the field because we think we don't want it. Whereas if we had stuck with it and just kept maintaining our integrity, doing our best, you come out on the other side, everything settles down and you get something that is even better than what you expected in the first place.
That is so true. I mean, I can attest to that as well. And every time it seems like we think that we know what we want for ourselves, is wrong. And if we just leave it up to the universe and just ask for the things that we need, the universe will give you what you want. But, you know, it's kind of, I call it the asterisk method. Like, let the universe figure out the rest and how it's going to happen. Yeah. Leave it up to the universe, but just, you know, worry about taking care of your basic needs and things like that, and the rest seems to follow, and it really
does. Well,
that was a great way to explain it, because I know a lot of people come to me, especially too, and they, how do I manifest things? It's like, well, the short answer, the long answer.
And to be a good manifester, we need to have a level of health in the temple body. Because this is the machine that brings it into being. Like, we think, oh, we ask God and God gives it to us. Well, technically, I don't think it works that way. We're creating it along with universal consciousness, but we got to do our part.
So creators,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So switching gears a little bit about, you know, we can, I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about more about the ET experiences. And I didn't tell my listeners this, but I found you on the Forbidden Knowledge podcast, which I'm a big fan of. I've told you that. And I heard you talking about the Intergalactic Resettlement Program, which we just talked about a little bit ago. And you're going to be doing their conference. When is that coming up?
That is going to be May the 28th to the 31st. It's a 4-day conference. It's online, so people can sit in their jammies and have their snacks, and they don't have to go anywhere. Right now, there's $20 off the pass cost. It's now only $49.99, so say $50 for 4 days. There are 14 presenters. Each one is an expert in their own.
Oh, they're all fabulous. Fabulous people.
And it's information that you haven't heard anywhere else before. And then along with your pass, I believe you get a copy of each of the presentations. So I'm not presenting until Sunday, but I recommend that people check out Thursday, Friday, Saturday too. You may as well. And I'm on after Laura Eisenhower. And so she's on from 11 to 1 Eastern Standard Time, and I'm on from 1 till 3 Eastern Standard Time. And for me, I'm Mountain Time, so it's 11 till 1. And so it's a two-hour presentation. I'll be spending an hour and a half talking about basically my history and how I got to the point where I became involved in the resettlement program. Then I'm going to talk about how the resettlement works, what it does, what it doesn't do, and how it's carried out. Then I'm going to get into my ET brothers and sisters that I spend time with, all kinds of cultural and sociological. I'm not a nuts and bolts ET kind of a girl. I'm into the culture and the sociological perspective and how they care for their young and what do they do in their downtime and what do they eat? And I want to know, how does everyone go to the bathroom on the ship? I want to know all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, I think many people do as well. So this would be great for...
Yeah, that's all going to be on there. And then I'm going to talk about the big ships and how they operate, even how their housekeeping takes place, like all the stuff you just don't hear from anybody else. And then I'm going to talk about how... the Quantum Health Transformation Program, besides just being a kick-ass, awesome lifestyle template, it also creates the proper conditions so that we can make ET contact. Now, we can all make contact with angels, with ETs, with interdimensionals. There's no end to what we can have, but we have to ask, we have to invite that into our lives, and we have to show that we're serious and that we're of the right frequency,
vibration, yeah,
exactly, mm-hmm. The vibration to do so. And so I'm going to link it in with the Quantum Health Transformation Program, and then at the very end, if there's time, I'm going to get a little bit into the alien implant removal process, which my ET friends have told me that if I want to help humanity, this is something else I can do. And then there'll be a half hour where I'll just take questions from people and answer anything they need clarification on.
Do you actually do the ET implant removal therapy? Because I have a friend right now who's suffering from that. And, you know, there used to be an amazing doctor out there who, a surgeon who's now passed away. I can't recall his name, but who
yeah.
just did amazing work helping people. And there really
yeah.
hasn't been anybody out there to do that. So,
There's a number of ways that you can, now, first of all, I want to say we all have implants. Some of them are genetic, some of them mm-hmm. are etheric, some of them are holographic. You know, we have been test subjects for a lot of high-level beings for a long time, and it's time for us to exert our sovereignty, and part of that is to get rid of these implants. Now, the implants on a bottom line, whether they're physical or etheric, they're all energy-producing devices that create a weak, but substantial EMF field that interrupts our body processes so that our bodies are always trying to cope with this electromagnetic frequency that's affecting every aspect of our lives. So once we get rid of that, we're doing way better. So I believe that we use energy for dealing with energy. Now, there's a number of alien implant ways of removing them. Some go and have them surgically removed. I don't agree with that because... Well, I'm not saying I don't agree with it. If you want to have that done, get it done.
But it's not necessary for you.
It's not necessary because your body will expel them once you deal with the frequency that they're emitting. The once they no longer are being
yep.
used, they'll be expelled from the body.
Mm-hmm.
There is a woman by the name of Alexandra Medor, and she offers an alien implant remedy, but hers is an oral sort of an essential oil component. She has a physical essential oil component, and then she has a psychic surgeon who does, and I actually did her process about 5 years ago. That's how I know about how they work. And he goes through a remote psychic removal process, and he removes them as well. Then there are other people who are just healers that are able to remove them because they just can hold so much frequency. They just zap you and it causes them to unlock and then they start to dissolve. And then there are people that are very high level adepts with yoga and things like that that are able to do them. So I wanted a process that was easy because, oh my goodness, if anything's too hard, I know I won't do it. It's just because life is complicated. So my guide suggested that I use Orgone generators, two different kinds. One is a pyramid that you put beside your bed, and it keeps your field clear, and it prevents re-infection, and it really helps you to heal while you're sleeping. And I use clear quartz and a really, really good high quality hematite in those. And the pyramids are also amplifiers, so they're going to really amplify that cleansing information. It pulls it from the bottom and it shoots out clean out the top. And then I have a little orgone generating disc that you put right on your body while you're doing the guided meditation. And then I have a friend of mine who has 28 years dealing with essential oils, making therapeutic blends and things. And she helped me to create the essential oil components. There's one that you put on the bottom of your feet before you go to bed. That super strengthens your base, your sacral, up to your solar plexus energy pathways. And then there's an essential oil spray. Use a little bit of that before you do the meditation, and that supports the throat chakra, the third eye, and the crown chakras. Because, and then this is the physical, well, actually, no, this is also energy. We have, our hearts produce a tremendously powerful Taurus field. And this Taurus field is tied in with our chakra systems and our meridian systems. And so when we really support the bottom three and the top three chakras, we're then helping that Taurus field to become even more vibrant and more robust. And that's an important part of the implant removal process. Then there's the guided meditation that you do for 21 days with the little disc on your heart chakra. Mm-hmm. And that gives you the control where you're actually going in like the psychic healer, but you're going into your own body and you're removing the physical, the etheric, the holographic, and other type and genetic different
fantastic.
Kinds of attachments. So it's using energy to knock out energy. And this is the healing of the future. The healing of the future is crystals, orgone generators, Reiki.
Oh, I agree with you.
100%. All the stuff that you do, and it harms no one. It can't harm you at all.
Yep.
And so the full kits we're selling for $90 Canadian, which would be about $65 or $70 American. And I wanted to keep the price as low as possible.
Well, and they should, I mean, you should be charging a lot more because there's a lot of good stuff in there. I mean, I was looking at it and that's really a good deal, you know, that you're giving everyone on that. So
because we want people to be able to have them, and not everyone has a lot of money.
Yeah.
The majority of people are very working class, what we might call the hovering poor, or people that just have, like you and I, where we have simplified lifestyles because it's more manageable. And I'm not saying we're poor, but we have, you know, very simplified lifestyles. And
sure.
So not everyone has buckets of money. And so I wanted it to cover
especially during these times, you know.
Exactly. And so that's why everything that I offer is at the lowest possible price, because it's important to get it into the people's homes, into their lives. That's what's important. The rest will take care of itself.
See, and this is one of the things that I think is so fantastic about you, Karen. I wish that more people, you know, there's some amazing healers out there, but I think they've missed the mark on some of these things. And it's not about making money. That's not definitely not why I got into this. Because you're in the wrong field if you're, you know, it's to heal and help one another. And I definitely think that you do that. I wanted to ask you about shungite. Is that isn't that also something you can use for alien implant removals?
I haven't personally used it, but I know shungite is an amazing, amazing crystal. It's actually very similar. It's in the same family as
isn't it carbon based?
It is. And it's really similar to obsidian. Now, obsidian is when volcanic masses come up and they melt everything and it turns into obsidian. And shungite's very similar, but the difference is that shungite originally had a plant matter part of its matrix, and that's why it has these tiny microscopic nano tubules and nanopockets that trap the electromagnetic frequencies, because that is where the organic matter used to be. So the difference between obsidian and shungite is the shungite came from the same things as obsidian, except it also had plant matter originally before.
And it has those fullerenes, right?
Yeah, the fullerenes actually are nano. They're naturally occurring nanotechnology, like buckyballs and all of that.
Buckyballs,
yeah, buckyballs, exactly. And so, although I haven't used it, it's interesting how I came up with the exact formula for the alien implant remedy. Like, for instance, once my friend Vlada and I, we did the research and she helped me and we found the right essential oil components, I then used a pendulum system, sort of like a double blind test, but with a pendulum, so that I could determine whether or not we actually had made the right decision. So I had Vlada's expertise, we had my own expertise, I had my own intuition, I had my input from my guides, and then I double tested everything two more times with a pendulum to make sure I had the right combination. So I put quite a bit into it. But and so we're using essential oils, we're using orgone energy, and also the crystals that are in the orgone generators. They also have their own energy signature. And then of course the essential oils are very high grade organic essential oils that also have the frequency. And so the combination, and then you do the meditation, and then, and people can do the meditation even if they, like, if something happens and people don't have the money to buy the kit, do the meditation anyway and use your own crystals. It may not be quite as good, but it might actually do some good too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you also program and set the intention, right? And you spend a good amount of time doing that.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what I do. I know this sounds a bit obsessive, but it's how I do it. It's just how I do it. My friend is a very small home-based business like me, the friend who makes the orgone generators. Mm-hmm. Everything is ethically sourced right from the get-go, from where we get the crystals to how they're made, everything. Because there's no sweatshops, there's no slave labor, there's no factories, there's none of that involved whatsoever. So then he makes them and he gets them to me, and then I take them and I wash them, but not just washing, they're not dirty. I wash them because that's part of a energetic cleansing process. Yeah. Because they've come, you know, often they come in the mail, and I don't know, I just want them to be really clean. And then I smudge them with sacred smoke. They all get, everything gets smudged. And I usually use copal, which is from Mexico. It's a sap from a tree.
Oh,
and I smudge everything. And then after that's the cleansing process, so that there's no negative attachment, no energy in there that's harmful at all.
Right.
Then I play high frequency music, healing music for them, because that revs up the crystals and gets them, you know, charged to their maximum potential.
Well, it's like the study that Masumoto did on the water.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then I give them, if I can get sunlight, I give them some sunlight. I treat them like they're alive, like they're my babies, right? I just love them. I'm loving them the whole time I'm doing it. I'm putting my intention on them. And then I do a process which I call quantum entanglement. Mm-hmm. And my guides taught me how to do this. So what I do is I set up some orgone generators that have already had this process done to them. And then I take all my new stuff and I take my favorite crystals and everything, and I arrange everything into a big grid. And then I got to get ready for the ceremony. So that takes longer than actually doing the ceremony, where I have to balance all my chakras. Like, I have to be this really high functioning vibratory tool, right, first, before I can do it. And then I have a wand, and what I do is I bring in sacred energy from the earth, from the earth's core. I call in sacred energy, and that comes in through my base chakra. Then I call in sacred energy from the galaxy and our solar system, and that comes in through my crown chakra. I mix them both, and you'll notice there's some similarity to this as the alien implant meditation. Mix them both in the heart chakra, Then I have them cut the energy flow up my shoulders, down my arms, through my wand. And at that point, I do quantum entanglement. So I do a ritual where I link up every piece of organite I've ever had with every piece that I ever will have. And the reason I do that is, number one, is to fill them with the intention to work to the highest good of the receiver. Because somebody might want it for warts and some might want it for a broken heart. I don't know. But if it's to the highest good of the receiver, they're ready to attune to whatever you want when you receive them. And I also quantum entangle them so they go out into the world. So one pyramid might go to Thailand, and another one might go to Phoenix, Arizona. Another one will go up to Alaska. And they're actually forming an invisible grid beneath them that brings health and harmony to the planet. So I thought, oh my God, I can't do
that. You're doing grid work, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and then it goes out to people, and I have a very small profit margin because these are I guess you could compare them to like the Cadillac of the organ generators. I'm not saying mine are better than everyone else's.
Well, I can't wait to get mine. I'm just waiting till Monday till I get paid, and then I am gonna buy that puppy this week. So. I'm very excited to get it.
Thank you. And I'm not going to make health claims, but I am going to tell you, I have so many people who have their lives have been changed once they got my organite into their homes. So I'm very excited about everything I do. Now, if people, even if they don't feel they need an organ generator, if they want to support my work, they can go on and order something. They get something that's going to benefit them, and they're supporting all the free work that I do. Because I still have to eat, and I eat really good quality foods. I don't eat, pardon me for saying this, but I don't eat Walmart food. You know, I buy off of farms and I suss out where I can find eggs from real chickens that are leading good lives and things like that. And I support all these other little independent communities as well. So this is very far reaching.
And Karen, can people also go on your site and donate, to your cause and donate to the work that you're doing? Do you have that availability?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of buried. It's under the More tab. And I think at the bottom where it has donations and in it, I just talk a little bit about keeping my integrity. I have to trust that the money will come. I have to trust that because I'm doing the work of angels. I'm doing the work of our higher selves. I'm doing a really important work. And so I know I'll always be looked after. I'm not out in the street. I've got a place to live. I've got good food. I've got everything I need. But yes, people can give me a donation. But even on my donation sheet, I'm saying, why not hire me for 20 minutes or an hour? Why not?
Yeah, and get some benefit out of it. Because
instead of giving me money, well, you can give me money if you want. I'm not going to argue with that. I got a donation button. But why not get yourself some organite and start seeing what it can do and what it brings to your life? And why not? Because that works too.
Yeah, and take advantage of her free resources, her crystals, her cannabis consulting, the many services that she offers, and also check out her YouTube channel. I definitely would love to have you on again. I want it after I get my organ generator, and then I know you and I have so much more to talk about because yesterday, catching up before we did this podcast, we discovered so many things that that there is to talk about. So I'd love to speak with you again after you do the conference and hear how that goes. And definitely. And I so appreciate you coming on. It's been such a pleasure having you. I'm so grateful for everything that you do. And I know the Earth is very thankful as well. Gaia is very thankful to you. And I always end my podcast with each guest with this question. What is your hope for humanity?
Oh, I have great faith in humanity. I think we're waking up in record numbers. We're going to shake off the brainwashing and we're going to go, I'm ready for sovereignty. I'm ready for love. I'm ready to be there for my humankind and the animals and the planets. And we can do this. So I'm very encouraged and I have great faith that we will take our power, stand up together, united. We don't have to fight. We don't have to complain. We don't have to yell and scream. We just have to stand up and say, I'm a sovereign being on this planet, and I'm loved. I'm loved more than anything.
I love that. Well, thank you again, Karen. Listen, you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.
And thank you for this opportunity. And I send my love out to everyone that's listening to your podcast. And I want to have you on my show, too. So in a few weeks, when the dust settles after the conference, yes, let's talk about that. Thank you again.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.